Ja.
The two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. Building castles in the sky. Just the two of us. You and I. Just the two of us. All right. Welcome to the third episode of the Bench Squad. As I said earlier, it's just the two of us, me and Keone. Lanry is studying. Maurice is sick. Allegedly, he's sick. But we got to start off, man, with Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
That man is greatness.
That man is greatness, like, and is like the worst person on the face of the earth. Conor McGregor is like Mike Tyson in a Trump body. Like, it's crazy. Like, he can really knock anyone out. He literally probably has the deadliest left hand on the face of the planet.
That's scary.
But he's like such an arrogant person. Like, I used to think Floyd Money Mayweather was like arrogant. But, like, Floyd couldn't really back it up because Floyd just ran the whole time and was great defensively.
Yeah.
Conor's, like, walking in and, like, just punching people in the face. Like, and, like, the problem is he wants ownership in the UFC. And I truly feel...
He should get his ownership. He should get ownership. Why not?
That's the thing.
The man has two belts. Give him, like, it doesn't have to be, like, 50%. Give him, like... 1-2%. Make him start small, and then once he's done with his fighting career, then he can like own more. But I always thought Anderson Silva was a bad man. I think Conor McGregor literally poops on Anderson Silva. Like, I grew up watching Anderson Silva, and just like, he doesn't even put it, he drops his hand literally and like shakes his head and dance, and then he will like front kick you to knock you out. Conor McGregor will put his hands down, literally wait for you to punch, and if you don't punch, he's gonna just like, boom, straight left hand. And that fight was nasty. I thought it was gonna go 5 rounds, but when Eddie Alvarez was out.
See, that's the thing. But I also feel like it's this. I feel like Conor's so above everyone else in the weight class he's in,
mm-hmm.
even though he's the champion for two weight divisions.
Yeah, which is. I don't know how does he control that, because I think there's like a 15 weight difference between weight classes. So I think he's lightweight and featherweight. And I think there's like a good 15 pounds difference.
That's the thing. I feel like in his part of the reason McGregor probably shouldn't get ownership
mm-hmm.
is because in his division, there aren't really any heavy hitters like him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like... if Conor was a heavyweight, by all means, get his ownership. He is the guy. Like, when I came up on UFC, I was watching, like, Quentin Rampage Jackson,
uh-huh.
Chuck Liddell, uh-huh. Forrest...
Forrest Griffin.
Yeah.
Rashad Jones.
Yeah, those guys.
Those were the light heavyweights, and the heavyweights are, like, taking over.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing these small guys take over, which is kind of amazing. And especially with the light heavyweight division, it's very weak now because whatchamacallit, it's just Daniel Cormier.
Everyone's on drugs now.
Oh, snap. So Conor McGregor, the reason why, because the upper limit for featherweight is 145, and in lightweight, the minimum weight is 145. So he really doesn't have to lose that much pounds, which is awesome. He can, if he really wants to, he could be featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight, if he wants to. Because it's like a 10-pound difference between those classes.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's probably one of the baddest fighters out there. Like, just genuinely, like, I would not want to fight that man. But
I wouldn't want to fight
him. I feel like it would be a crime not to give him ownership.
Right.
But I feel like it would be disrespectful to give him ownership while he's still fighting.
Uh-huh.
Because then it's like a conflict of interest. Like, this man will get paid whether he wins or loses the fight. Double. Like, you still get paid if you lose the fight. But he'll still be making money because he has ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he were to retire, they need to give that man 50% of the company. Like, that man, him and Ronda Rousey probably save the UFC.
Maybe. I don't know about Ronda.
Ronda was knocking people out.
She was submitting people in like 15 seconds, and Ronda came and just said, "No, you're not doing that today." And then someone came and beat Ronda, and then someone came who beat, like, it's
Holly Holm came to beat Ronda, and then
the person, I think it was like, oh gosh, I forgot her name.
I think it was Kat. I'm not sure who beat Holly Holm. I'm pretty sure it was Kat.
But I think whoever beat Holly Holm lost again, so it's like a domino effect in that division. So it kind of makes you think, well, if this person beat that person, would beat Ronda Rousey, like Ronda
Rousey.
But
that's what, like, if boxing, it was like, then, like, it was like someone beat, did Ali beat Foreman, and then Foreman beat Frazier or something like that. It was like some weird triangle like that. And that's kind of what's happening in, you know, the UFC, but it's a growing sport. I just want some.
See, because it's like, all right, so Rousey lost to Holly Holm. Mm-hmm. Holly Holm lost to Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate lost to Amanda Nunes. And now I think it's UFC 206 versus Rousey. So it's this weird triangle effect. Like, is the women's bantamweight very competitive, or is it just...
It's pretty competitive. Everyone's pretty much on the same level.
I mean, now it is, but remember there was a time where it was just like, it's Ronda Rousey versus, like, it's just Ronda Rousey versus a scrub, and now it's... And if I'm not mistaken, these... Like, Miesha Tate lost to Ronda Rousey before.
Yeah, she did.
And so it's a very weird thing. I don't know about Ronda. And then reports are saying, like, this could be her last fight. And I'm just like, it won't be.
After she wanted to kill herself for a little bit, she doesn't need to be in the ring anymore.
Yeah, she just needs to go to the WWE, you know what I'm saying? Just get your matches in while you can. But, yeah, Conor McGregor is the GOAT.
True.
So... Now we gotta go to the NBA, and I'm gonna be honest, I haven't been watching.
Why haven't you been watching?
Cause the Knicks are kind of you know, making me mad, because I think the offensive system is right, but the defense is gonna be the death of us. Like,
well, y'all have two defensive players, and
it's not the players, it's the person coaching the defense. I don't know what. Phil is slowly sabotaging the Knicks.
But Phil isn't coaching the defense.
But he put Kurt Rambis to coach the defense. A man with a 64-185 record. If you won 64 games and lost 185 games, you lost three times as much games as you won. Why are you in charge of our defense?
They could be friends.
They are. That's the worst part.
Okay, then. So
here's the thing. This is like Phil thinks he's doing the right thing, but no, he's slowly sabotaging us, and Knicks fans are starting to see it.
I feel like Phil's not getting enough credit here.
No,
Phil drafted Porzingis. I remember draft night. People, literally, my friends who are Knicks fans called me crying or cursing out that the Phil
Jackson. I know, because I was one of them.
You were one of them.
I was one of them.
And guess what? Porzingis became Godzingis.
That's all good. That's good.
That was Phil Jackson.
That was his only good draft pick. You do know that, right? Clay Anthony Early got shot. Not playing.
I mean, how many good draft picks are you really going to pick up in a draft?
At San Antonio, at Chicago, they've known, even Boston knows how to draft. It's just that The Knicks
is not a team that would build through the draft.
And that's,
they're a
that's
New York market, meaning they're a large market, meaning they get free agency for the main pickups. And that's how they got Mello. That's how they got Amari when Amari happened.
Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. Derrick Rose.
What other trades?
But still, I understand, but it's time to change that mentality, which is why Phil came in the first place. Said, this is going to be a rebuild. We're going to build through the draft. Because James Dolan wasn't a build through the draft guy. He said, I own the Madison Square Garden. I get money every, like, single day. Just pick a guy and I'll throw the checkbook at him.
And which is the smartest way to do it.
It is, but it's not effective when you're getting these guys for only, like, a couple years. These are like rentals. And we need guys that are going to start from day one and give us, like, maybe 5 to 10 years.
That's the thing. We can't. Nobody wants to stay there 5 to 10 years. No matter how much money you're throwing at them.
That is why we need to draft. Because the only way you can do it is through the draft.
Okay, but how many... Okay, out of every draft class, you maybe have 5 of them who become decent. Then the maybe 2 who become a superstar. Or a star-level caliber player. So, it would literally take the years from the Knicks... Probably 7 years to even get a decent squad. No one's going to stay around through that process because the rookie contract pretty much only lasts you 5 years max. So, no one's going to stay around for that process. Now, if the Knicks can manage to win at least in Eastern Conference Finals, they'll be able to throw checkbooks at people and recruit real talent. But this drafting and I'm going to develop people, it doesn't work. Not when Phil Jackson's your president of basketball operations. Not when y'all have a coach who you say has an abysmal record.
No. Assistant coach with an abysmal record coaching our defense. And going back to that, I think, again, like as I was saying, it's a complete sabotage because I remember, like, he was, if y'all can see how close my fingers are, like, he was this close to actually removing an interim tag off of Kurt Rambis and making him the head coach. But ownership said no. Like they said, no, do not hire this man, which is why he went out to get Hornacek. Because if Phil Jackson would have hired Kurt Rambis, he would have been fired off the spot. On the spot. Like, actually, they probably gave him, like, maybe a couple months. But it's like, he was about to be fired. So that's why I just think.
But it's not like the Knicks are getting blown out. The Knicks are a decent team.
The Knicks are. Okay, the Knicks aren't getting blown out. But the Knicks aren't just playing defense. It's just like, you look at it and it's just like...
But that's kind of laziness on the player's behalf.
No.
Okay, Melo's never played defense.
That is true.
In his entire career. He's an offensive superstar for probably the best offensive scorer in the past maybe 10 years.
Uh-huh.
In my, just off of scoring titles and stuff. But he's never played defense. Melo's just like a larger version of James Harden. Well, no, Melo plays like...
Right, I was about to say,
James,
like...
Harden just literally doesn't do anything.
No.
But he is the best point guard in the league at this point in time. We'll get to that a little bit later. Y'all picked up Courtney Lee, a good 3-and-D player.
Right. Y'all who's probably, like, honestly, not like the bright spot.
Yeah.
Probably because...
Thank Phil Jackson for that.
Okay, I will thank him for that, but still not a draft pick. Still.
Now y'all got kind of messed up getting rid of JR and Shump.
We didn't mess up. It was for good. It was for the better. I think if we had Hornacek now, it's a regret. But at the time, it was like, all right, we're trying to give the triangle a run, and you two guys aren't just fitting it. You're doing your own thing. We gotta let you go. And it was for the better of both teams at the time. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was better for Cleveland because we got no. I'm still mad.
Y'all got nothing for
it. We got nothing for that trade. I'm just like, we couldn't even get Reggie. I was like, oh, I thought we had Reggie Jackson. Nope.
No, they literally said, we'll throw in JR.
Like, I was so mad. We
so, the Knicks are a dysfunctional franchise. It is a very sad day when the Knicks, look worse than the Lakers. Because the Lakers have looked awful.
Until this season actually looked good.
Exactly. And I told y'all that, and y'all laughed at me. Y'all thought I was crazy.
Hey,
I was
like, the Lakers are going to play. But didn't I say the Lakers want to beat the Warriors, though?
Yeah, because you listened to me finally when you realized, oh, my goodness, Keone is a guru.
I didn't realize that. I would just be like, you know what? History is going to repeat itself. But another thing I'm really mad about on Phil is that he's complaining that they're not running a triangle. I'm going to need Phil to actually just stop talking. Because I looked at the stats. When this story came out, I looked at the stats. He needs to realize that the triangle is a inefficient, obsolete offensive system.
The triangle is too easy to defend at this point in the game.
Basic. Not even. It's just not effective because you're settling for mid-rangers. And it's not. It shows that it's not the most effective shot.
One, y'all don't have the players to run a triangle.
We don't. Which
at the end of the
and
day.
We try getting the players, and they're just like, "No, we can't do it." So, but when I looked at the stats, the first year under Derek Fisher, I think it was like 93 points a game.
Yeah,
and that was running full triangle, and I was like, "Wow, that was horrible." Like 93 points. It was like 93 points. Then the next year, Derek Fisher started adding more pick and roll plays, and it worked because we went from 93 to 98. We're still not shooting threes, still, but it's a 5-point increase. Well, okay, all right. So Derek's starting to get around, and then you know, hired Kurtman, and Derek Fisher gets fired. Kurt Rambis comes in, starts running triangle again, and we went from a 500 team to like 32-50, just like that. Because we started running more triangle plays again. Now, Hornacek's in. We're averaging 101 points per game. Granted, we're giving up like 107 points per game. But if Phil needs to look at this. If he's mad that we're not running triangle, yet we're scoring over 100 points. We're averaging over 100 points per game for the first time in your three-year tenure in New York. You should really just shut your mouth.
I feel like
let this. Jeff Hornacek just do his thing. Because I think I realized Jeff Hornacek, I think he finessed to get that Knicks job. He did. Think about it. Because again, he wanted Kurt Rambis. He wanted someone who could run a triangle. And then Jeff Hornacek comes in and doesn't run a triangle, but Phil gets mad. But yeah, our offense is already doing better than it has in the past 2 years combined.
Here's the thing. And this is an analogy I just thought of. And you can tell me if it's a fair comparison or not. Phil Jackson is the NBA's version of Chip Kelly. Meaning
that's actually a fair comparison.
Okay, cool.
No, actually, it could be fair in a way, because the thing is, Chip Kelly's first year, his offense was highly effective, and then just dwindled. But are we talking about Phil as an executive or Phil as a coach?
I mean, Phil as like an executive.
Still somewhat fair.
Because I feel as if, because Chip Kelly had this situation where it's like, oh, no, the plan works. We just don't have the pieces to do it. Phil is that with the triangle. The triangle still works. We just don't have the pieces to do it. And what he fails to realize is the triangle simply is not going to beat teams when there are 40-plus three-point shots being pulled up.
Basically, yeah. But I think what Chip Kelly is, the thing is about Chip Kelly doesn't have talent no more. That's the thing.
Well, that was his fault when he got, like, left the Eagles. But
he truly screwed up the Eagles himself.
Didn't have any defense.
No, he personally, like, you gave away LeSean McCoy. You gave away, you let, what's his name, walk away.
Murray?
Not Murray. Gosh, what's his name? DeSean Jackson. Let him walk away. And then you traded away. No, you traded for Kiko Alonso, I think. It was just weird how he handled that situation. I see that analogy, but I think Philly, he just screwed it up, and then now he's in San Francisco, which I think he does have the talent to run the offense. It's just like he does have the players for his offense, but they're just not talented enough.
Yeah, like he has the style of players.
He has the style of players and needs, but it's just not being executed because it's just the talent level is a huge drop off when Jim Harbaugh was a coach. But I understand the comparison, but again, we just need to get better at defense, and Kurt Rambis is not the answer as our defensive coordinator.
Well, here's the benefit. You guys are in the Eastern Conference, meaning you guys don't need the best record to, you know, prosper.
But
and y'all get to the playoffs. Now, granted, y'all will probably be a pretty low seed and probably get killed by Cleveland first round.
Which is now, I had him as a 4 seed, and now I'm like, I'm just praying to make it to the 8 seed. I mean,
right now, if the playoffs were to start today, you'd be a 10 seed, so you wouldn't make it.
Exactly.
If you win two more games, you're in there. You know?
Yeah, but like I said, the answer isn't Kurt Rambis. He needs to go.
So Kurt Rambis needs to go. You're fine with Phil. So is this more of a I hate Kurt Rambis or
it's
I hate Phil?
I hate both. Because Kurt Rambis is only there because of Phil. And Kurt, everyone knows that. Kurt Rambis is not, I don't mean to like bash anyone, but the record proves it. you're not effective as a coach. We like
we can't judge people off their past.
Yes we can. Yes we can. There is a reason certain coaches aren't hiring. When we see your records, it's just like it's iffy. Like there's something like you want to know why Philadelphia hasn't fired their coach? Because it's just like we're giving you a young core.
Here's why Philadelphia has not fired their coach. Because that is a corrupt team.
Exactly.
That team is making, they are betting against themselves and making all kinds of money.
Getting number
they
one
are
draft
throwing
pick.
Seasons. They are ripping Joel Embiid out of games because he's possibly going to make them win. That is what is happening. They are limiting Jahlil Okafor's minutes.
That's because he's coming off an injury.
It's not, but that's what they want you to see. They are, if you can play 10 minutes, you can play 48. Here's the thing.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. Here's the thing. They just don't want to win. They are 1-9, bro.
Hey, look, that one is important because I think in the
that
first
half. That one game where they were like, Joel, okay, we actually need to see.
Here's
our
the thing.
Fans are going to revolt if we go on a 0-10 record.
Here's the thing, though. I just feel like, I think the first 10 games last year, bro, they were like 0-11, bro. All right, so let's not.
And the city almost burned down the stadium.
All right, look, it's all about trusting the process.
No, there is no process to trust.
I just think.
They have great players who they are literally wasting their away in their careers.
And they just can't. Their problem is they can't get a veteran presence. That's all. Cause
no.
Their oldest player on the team is 30 years old. To anyone in the league, 30 years old is like, that's a prime year for a superstar. Your oldest player is 30 years old. That's kind of asking a lot.
I'm not asking for much. I'm asking to win 30% of your games. 30%.
That's possible.
Give me 20%. They didn't even give me 20% last year.
So you're saying they can't win 16 games?
No, not the way they're playing now. They're sabotaging themselves. You got all that talent on one squad. And then they keep drafting centers. Like, how many big men do you need?
Right. They trying to be the next Milwaukee Bucks.
No, bro. And don't they have Ben Simmons?
He's injured with a foot injury.
He's a what? Well, he's a power forward. He can
he's
really
a point
play
guard.
Anything.
He's a point guard. He was the point guard. Yeah.
No,
he's a guard.
No, he's not.
I think he was drafted
not
as a guard.
Listed. He's listed as a PF.
That wouldn't make sense. Like they truly.
Ben Simmons is like how?
No, even though he's that tall, but like the position that he played, he's 6'10". But I feel like everyone was like he was a guard.
No, he was like a LeBron James type, meaning he can play.
I thought he was always a guard.
No, he's not a point guard. He was in the paint.
Well, not a point. Oh yeah, forward.
He's a forward.
But in LSU, he was like guard abilities. So that's what
he's
I'm
like an Anthony Davis.
No, he's an Anthony Davis LeBron type. That's why I'm just like he can honestly be the point guard of that team.
I think they call that point forward now.
Yeah, still. He's like,
but yeah.
He could truly, truly, if he lives up to his potential, I'm not saying he's going to be a LeBron-like because the man can't shoot. He could be a Magic Johnson type, honestly. That tall with great passing ability and that type of athleticism, you can't say he's not going to be in, like, just
I'm not going to put him on a Magic is like probably the second greatest player of all time.
I understand that, but you got to understand, like, Magic, you got to, like, his height.
I understand the comparison.
And his passing ability. Like, that's why I said if Ben Simmons truly lives up to his potential, he doesn't got to be a shooter. Like, he really doesn't. Like, if you draft shooters around him and just facilitate and just be a magician with the ball, you can truly be Magic, like no pun intended. Yeah, but
I suppose so. But 76ers are that's one bright side for you, Nick. You guys have a better record than the worst team in the league.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I honestly, this is they need to really just start talking with Phil. And if I'm James Dolan, this is what I do. It's like, Phil, this is year 3. You're going on year, this is I'm talking about the next offseason. This is year 4. Your seat is on fire. Okay, so you got one or two things. Either you fire Rampus or I fire both of you. The thing is, Rampus got to go. Because I like Hornacek. I like what he's doing. Because we're taking more three-point shots now, and that's why I think we're scoring that one in that 100 range. But like Jeff made it simple clear. In practice, we practice against a triangle offense, not against normal offenses, which should kind of ring in your head. Why are you putting Kurt Rampus in as a defensive coordinator? if all he knows is the triangle offense?
Look, what he's going to make you defend. The Knicks have never made smart coaching decisions. Now, when was the last time the Knicks had a good coach?
Mike Woodson.
That's a good coach to you.
I mean, he got us to the playoffs. We were 38-44 that second year. I just think it was just like that year when everyone retired. I think it just took a toll on us. And Mari kept on getting injured. Like Mike Woodson was a good coach, but honestly, yeah, I think that was like the last good coach we had since what's his name, analyst for Jeff Van Gundy. That's probably like the last good coach.
Knicks have never had good coaches. They never had good coordinators. Knicks has always kind of been sucky. Not in the terms of mystique and location and all that. I mean, it's the guard and all that stuff. Knicks, I mean, they haven't really been relevant since like the 70s.
No, relevant since the 90s. I know we had an argument about that, but I remember we actually did make it to the finals in the 90s against the Houston Rockets when Kenny won. I was like, wait, why am I arguing about the 70s? That's like that's the last time we won a championship. We've been to the finals in the 90s because I was born right around that time. It happened.
True. Okay, I give it to you.
I was born right around that time. That was the year when Patrick Ewing got dunked on. What?
Y'all aren't going to the finals for like the next 30 years.
I give him 15 years. Let's see. If we keep Porzingis. And I think we really do need to start trading away our picks. Like, I feel like if we could get like a good lottery / mid round draft pick, develop him, get another free agent like a Westbrook or a Boogie Cousins, who we're going to talk about in a second. I feel like if we can just center our team with the right amount of pieces, because LeBron only got like what? He's 31. He got, like, you know, 7 more years in Academy Leaders uniform. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Butler. All those guys are going to... But Kristaps is only going to be, like, 27 in that time when LeBron's fall. That's a great age for... You understand?
Y'all have an upside. It's just not for a good 30.
No, but bro.
You mentioned something that was intriguing. You brought up Boogie Cousins.
Yes, sir.
And we all know Boogie needs to leave the Kings. It's just... He's not happy there. When was the last time you seen Boogie Cousins smile? I haven't seen him smile since doggone USA basketball. He hasn't been happy since. So, we need to figure out.
Where he's
there's
going.
Actually a trade rumor about him being traded and Klay Thompson being traded.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson, I'm not putting too much clout in. I don't think they'll...
I think it would be a nice trade. I think if they trade Klay Thompson, I think it would be a very nice trade.
Who are you going to trade Klay Thompson for?
You could trade him for some young guy. You could trade him for some like young bench players. Honestly, because even though as stacked as that starting lineup is, we all know it's truly just the KD show and Steph's
the
back.
Here's the thing, though. You can't trade for Klay in his position. He's a shooting guard. There's not a shooting guard in the league at the moment who can shoot like him or is an elite defender on that same level. So the only thing you could trade Klay Thompson for is a post presence, because that's the one thing.
And that's another thing. Yeah, you can trade him for post presence.
What team really has a good post presence that are willing to give away that for Klay Thompson?
Like, there's always the Celtics. They always got young post guys. Again, either picks, picks, complimentary bench guys, or as you said, a big. But I feel like it's going to be too much of whose turn is it? When there's three guys who can honestly just go off for 37 and a quarter, it's kind of, I understand why that Klay Thompson's in the rumors, even though I don't think it's going to happen. If it does happen, then like, you know, then maybe the Warriors aren't the team to beat. Somewhat.
No, because you still have Kevin Durant. You still have the last two MVPs on the squad. And Kevin Durant has low-key, not even low-key, he's been hooping. Like,
quietly.
He's putting up, like, the same numbers, if not better, that he was putting up in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's actually grabbing more boards than he was in OKC. Whereas last year,
he's actually playing defense than he was in.
He's always been a good defensive.
Yeah, but now we're
people
seeing
just
it.
Sleep on him.
Now we're seeing it.
Yeah, so KD is like I think it's too early to even like do MVPs. But if you really break it down, once we get over this Russell Westbrook hype of like doing stupid stuff. Like,
now I do what I want.
Exactly. Like, once we're 30 games in and we're tired of them losing games and stuff, then we can have a real MVP conversation. I think it would be Kevin Durant is definitely in there. I don't think Steph's in it yet.
No, definitely. No, for, yeah, you still can't take Russ out of an MVP conversation if he's put, if he's still putting up triple doubles.
It doesn't matter if you're losing. It honestly doesn't, because if that was the case, Anthony Davis should have won that year.
That is true. But I'm just not. Anthony Davis got injured too much.
Bro, he had the, one of the highest PERs that we haven't seen since the 60s.
That's true. But the he's been 60s, getting injured bro. Too much. Like, I think you need to play like 70 something games to win MVP. Honestly.
I don't think that's an actual rule, bro. I think it just came up with
something. I just like past winners, bro, played like 70 games, bro. If you play like 60, bro.
Anthony Davis is wasting away on the Pelicans. That would be good.
What?
Well, you can go to the Pelicans.
No, it would not be good.
That would be good. You got AD who can do anything.
But if I'm the Kings, I would want AD in return.
If you're the Kings, you just want George Karl to be safe.
George Karl's not on the team.
I know, but still. You just want George Karl to be safe. You want to keep that relationship intact, because they're going to have to bring George Karl back.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
The
Kings have made terrible decisions. They got rid of Seth Curry, who's balling.
In Dallas, for real?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I think you're just looking at Summer League.
No, bruh. I'm a Seth Curry fan.
All right, bro.
I've been a Seth Curry fan. I'm a Duke, bro.
I'm just saying. I don't think Steph Curry's been balling.
Curry has been balling. He's doing better than all his career averages.
We're only 10 games in.
Yeah, but he's doing better than all his career averages. Like, if you look at the past few games, he dropped 23 against the Lakers. Balling.
It's the Lakers.
Which is a great team.
Not a great defensive team.
You just hating. The playoffs were to start right now, guess who would be the 8th seed?
Dallas? Or the Lakers? Oh, sorry. I thought we were still talking about Seth Curry.
We are still talking about Seth Curry.
Okay.
Seth Curry, he went 23-4 against the Lakers. Golden State, he's going against his brother. Still almost got a double-double with 10-9. And 2 blocks. And 5 steals. What's happening?
I feel like that's more... But here's the thing, though. Still one big L. Still one big L, because they clearly got 21 skunked that game, because I'm looking at it.
Right? Okay, it's the Warriors, though. I'm not talking about the Mavericks as a whole. I'm talking about Seth Curry.
And if
the Kings got rid of him. That man is talented.
Somewhat.
He went to Duke, which means you're better than 99. But he spent 4 years
at Duke. If you spend 4 years at Duke, that's a problem. All right?
No, it means you're...
The only person that's allowed to spend 4 years at Duke is J.J. Redick. I don't think he spent 4 years at Duke.
He spent four.
Oh, see? That's the only person allowed to. All right?
Here's the thing. It's mainly about the Kings. When the Kings are getting rid of talented players like a Seth Curry, when they're trying to get rid of talented players like a Boogie Cousins, like, you need to... Is Rudy Gay still on the Kings?
Yeah, he's still on the Kings.
When you got Tim... The Kings should be a lot better than what they are.
I think we're overrating Rudy Gay. He's really not. He's iffy. You're iffy when there's like a Twitter handle saying, "Did Rudy Gay miss?" And every tweet, like whenever he misses a shot, they'd be like, "Yes, he missed a shot." Like that's something. You shouldn't have a Twitter handle saying, you know, about you missing shots. So I think Rudy Gay's iffy. I think he's no longer his Memphis self. I think that's the problem. He's no longer his Memphis self. But you got a point. And not even that. I think it's a failure to develop, because Ben McLemore should be balling by now, and he's not.
No, I never really believed in Ben McLemore.
I love Ben McLemore, man. That man was butter in college, bro. He was butter.
The college game, it's one thing to be good in college, but you have to see, like, but does this translate to that NBA, though?
I mean, that he did have a nice shooting stroke.
I mean, there's a lot of people who can shoot in college and then can't shoot in the big leagues. Look at RJ Hunter. Like, no offense, that's my boy and everything. I've talked to him many a time.
Yes, sir, look at RJ Hunter.
I mean, bruh, those extra 3 feet. Detrimental to most college players. Like, so I'm just saying, but I think the best fit for Boogie would either be for him to actually prosper. I think Boston's a good option for him. I think the Pelicans are a great option for him.
Again,
if they can manage to, like,
keep first of all, Anthony Davis. I just feel like Pelicans wouldn't be a good. I mean, if they keep Anthony Davis, maybe, but still not a good option because they're just as bad.
You know what's the best option for him?
The Knicks.
No, screw the Knicks. Plus, y'all have big men.
So we can give away Jokic.
Boogie Cousins to the Warriors for Klay Thompson.
No.
Yes.
No.
That's rim protection. And you have enough shooters. You don't really need Klay on that team. It gives the Kings something that's of worth more or equal value. And it does, and the Warriors aren't going to really lose nothing because then Steph can just take the shots that Klay would have taken.
Actually, you know what I would really like, to be honest? Boogie comes to the Eastern Conference, not the Knicks, the Wizards. Him with John Wall.
The Wizards are trash.
No. Think about it, though. The reunion of John Wall and Boogie Cousins with Bradley Beal. And you can honestly give up Gortat. You can give up Gortat and what's his name? Otto Porter for Boogie Cousins. That would be. You can't say that's not a good trade. You can't say that's not looking. You can't say
I don't like it more than the Klay Thompson trade. Because at the end of the day, here's the thing. I want Boogie to win. Boogie's not going to win on the Wizards. They'll still get stomped out by Cleveland.
But it will make the Wizards a much better team, and it gives them an actual chance to, like, be something in the East. I think it. Boogie to the Wizards, or Boogie to the Hawks.
No, okay. The Hawks are fine. The Hawks are number two in the Eastern Conference.
If you give up an expiring Paul Millsap contract for a Boogie Cousins,
we already got Dwight Howard.
So
Dwight and Boogie aren't going to get along.
Yeah, but Boogie can actually kind of like hit the jumper. So
no, I'm talking about personality wise, they would hate each other.
Nah, they would probably love each other, bro.
No,
yes, they would, bro.
No,
you never give them a shot. And I'm not a Hawks fan, by the way. I just saw the team popped up, and I was just like, I'm just going to be outlandish for today.
Because that didn't make sense. The Wizards made sense. Low key.
They see. I told you.
But like I said, I still don't like it better than that Klay Thompson trade.
I don't like the Klay. I just feel like, here's the thing.
It gives you exactly what you need, but then you don't lose anything.
You kind of do, because you lose a backcourt presence, and you get an extra frontcourt presence that you kind of don't need.
You need rim protection.
I know you need rim protection. I know Zaza isn't filling the job, but on the offensive side, what is he on the offensive side? He's not a ball mover. He's a good passer, like, for his size. He's a decent passer. But in terms of offensive fit, you're going to lose a lot.
Here's the thing. How much offense does the – because at the end of the day, we know this. We know Cleveland's coming out of the East. It doesn't really matter. That's not the – so I'm just thinking of a Cleveland matchup versus the Warriors. Of course, LeBron would be on KD. KD's still going to score. I hate when people be like, oh, yeah, LeBron shuts down KD. KD still drops 25 every time.
There's no such thing as a shutdown. We need to get rid of that term, honestly.
Exactly. It's like this man's still putting up more points. He's still putting up the same numbers. He just messes up more.
Uh-huh.
That's all that is. So, Steph versus Kyrie. Well, we know Kyrie's probably going to win that matchup. Just off of history and because Kyrie is the best point guard since, you know. Probably of all time.
No.
But name a better point guard.
You clearly just said, you just started the show saying Magic Johnson's like the number two player of all time.
Yeah, and Kyrie's number one. No, actually the number one player of all time is Will Chamberlain.
It's definitely.
Will Chamberlain.
Nah.
We can argue about this.
We did. Because we always talk about, like, who did Wilt face? That's the reason
Wilt
why we
Wilt faced Kareem and Bill Russell.
Okay.
Which are the people who actually won the most championships.
Compare that to Michael, who went up against Isaiah Thomas, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
Oh.
Bro, you being disrespectful, bro. Like, John Stockton, Carmelo. Like, you understand, the 90s were, late 80s to the and the 90s were very prime for basketball.
What you got to understand. Michael Jordan lost a lot. We act like this man played 15 years in the league, took 2 years off when his pops died. 15 years, he has 6 rings.
All right.
Okay. Now, Jordan lost to the Pistons, I don't know how many times in the doggone playoffs.
Yeah, but...
All right. Also, Jordan didn't win until he got another all-star player such as Scottie Pippen.
Just like Dennis Kobe. Rodman.
Doesn't matter. Kobe came in to the Lakers. Or he got drafted by the Charlotte Hornets or whatever. And then, you know, Trey went to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Kobe had to develop a little bit, but we already knew Kobe was going to be greatness in high school. You know what I'm saying? Once he got Shaq, they went on a tear. That's not, we're not talking about Kobe right now. We're talking about Jordan and how Jordan's the most overrated player to ever play the game of basketball.
I don't think so.
Jordan didn't beat nobody, bro.
He beat... We just talked about how he beat Magic, Bird, Isaiah.
Magic had AIDS.
So?
If I beat a person with HIV, is that really something to really brag about? Oh, I beat that guy who's infected and like cursed to die in 5 months. No, it's not clout. The man was sick. Nah, he was sick.
So?
Okay.
He still... Hey, Jordan was sick, still had the flu game, though. I remember when he was sick.
You know how many times I played with strep throat, and I went off. So, I don't care about Jordan. Oh, I got the flu. Okay, you sneezing and sniffling. You running, you sweating it out. That's what you're supposed to do when you sick.
I mean, to be honest, bro, I never believed in Gatorade till I saw the flu game, bro. Never, ever believed in Gatorade, bro. I thought they had, like, hot chocolate on the sideline for him. Rob, bro, it's just straight lemon lime Gatorade.
Exactly, but here's the thing. Jordan, he's great player statistically, but they act like that man never missed a shot. They act like that man never lost.
I don't act like that. It's just that, just the way he developed his game from being just a rim attacker to somewhat of a shooting threat. Just like, you gotta understand, the way he developed himself.
Kobe did it better.
Of course he did, but still, because...
But here's the thing. You can't, in my opinion, the most dominant player of all time should be considered the best player of all time.
Then Shaq is the best player of all time.
Wilt was way more dominant than Shaq.
Again, I feel...
He got 55 points in a season. That was his season average.
I understand that.
He averaged 25 boards a game, DZ.
Again, he was going up against no one.
Was going up against great talent, Elgin Baylor.
These guys can't guard him. This man's 7 foot tall.
Exactly, but he's the most dominant player.
I'm talking about in terms of other centers or someone else in another front court presence who has Wilt faced. I think that's the only knock against him. That's why we don't give him this higher rating.
That's because
he's probably the most prolific scorer because, like, of the 55 points per game, the 100 points in a game that no one's ever going to break. But honestly, it was just against truly no one.
It's not, but that's the thing. No, you can't say. Because I feel like if you put Wilt in any era, he could probably... Well, he's not putting up 100 points a game.
No, if you put Wilt in our era, he'll probably get off of... He'll probably be a 20-10 guy.
He'd be more than a 20-10.
He'll be a good...
Well, you got to think. Wilt is 7'1", who was also a professional volleyball player with a 50-inch vertical.
I didn't know he had a 50-inch.
He had a 50-inch vertical.
I still don't. I just think he's just a freak of nature. He played.
Here's the thing. I feel like if you put Wilt...
He was the LeBron James before the LeBron James. That's all I think.
Here's the thing. Wilt was just... Wilt wasn't natural. He wasn't a human being anymore. So, here's the thing. I feel like if you're the best player, you should be able to beat anybody from any era in a one-on-one setting. I can name about 5 centers right now Michael Jordan couldn't beat in a one-on-one. Just off size alone.
Centers?
Yeah.
Shaq.
He couldn't beat Shaq. He couldn't beat Wilt. He probably couldn't beat Kareem because the skyhook is unstoppable. I don't think he could deal with Karl Malone at the end of the day. I don't think he could deal with... Well, that's a little blasphemous to say. Mm. So let me not say that last one I was just thinking of.
Mm. Who are you thinking of?
I'll tell you off air.
If I remember.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I'm looking at his bro. He didn't play Kareem, bro. He barely played Kareem because Kareem, it was probably like 5 years.
Back when Kareem was like on the Bucks.
Yeah, it was like only like a couple. That's like 5 years. I'm talking about throughout his entire career.
He mainly played Bill Russell.
All right, I'll give you Bill.
Should probably be considered way higher than what he is. Because talk about winning games.
It's the fact that he did as a player, as a coach. We're talking about that era, the 70s and the 60s and the 70s. Early 80s still wasn't like, you know, basketball still wasn't prominent. People were still looking at baseball and football. Like, again, I think late 80s, throughout the 90s, when it was like nitty gritty, it got more physical, that's when people started paying attention to basketball.
I think that's why
people put Michael Jordan as that number one player.
But they didn't change rules for Jordan. They literally, Wilt Chamberlain broke the game. They literally had to implement goaltending and like fouls and blocks and how you were allowed to block it. They literally changed rules because Wilt was beating on people so bad.
I understand that.
Jordan didn't have rules changed. Jordan didn't break the game. Jordan, like, really, like, operated well in his system. And people would be like, oh, they couldn't play in this era because it was more physical. Well, half the people in that era couldn't play in this era because they don't know how to defend without fouling someone.
I understand, but I'm still not putting Will as, like, I'm not giving him the push that you are because I still feel like...
Can we just pull up stats? Can we just pull up stats?
No, because I already said this, man. We get blinded by the stats, and I feel like we shouldn't be blinded by the stats. Honestly, like, there's sometimes where stats would be in an important situation, but I feel like stats are just a result of the system that you are in and not just, like, how good you are. Think about it. Because if I mean, Boogie has stats now, but think about the stats he would have if he's in a different system. What would Boogie's scoring average be if he was in the, running a triangle? Tell me. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's just stats are just a result of the system that you are in. If it fits you, you're gonna exceed well, and you're gonna put up incredible numbers. Or if the system puts you as the focal point, and you can kind of it's giving you like the leeway to do whatever you want. Of course you're gonna get like. Of course you're gonna average like 30 points per game with like 12 assists, like James Harden. Like, if you know what I'm saying? Like, it's because of the system why sometimes the stats can be blinding. Like, DeMar DeRozan's leading the league in scoring, and like no one's giving him any props.
So is Jordan just a product of his system?
I feel a little bit of both. Yes, he is, because at the end of the day, that's when the triangle was getting prominent when Phil brought it in there. He won all those rings with Phil as a head coach.
Okay, so we should really be crediting Phil Jackson.
We do, we do.
The success of Jordan.
We do.
You just said you hate Phil Jackson.
I hate Phil Jackson as an executive. I hate him as an executive. Let's be clear on that.
Then you should still have respect for him.
I do
have
respect
for what he did as a coach.
I did, which is why I was happy when they brought him in as president of basketball operations 3 years ago. But now we're clearly seeing that you can't be an executive. You're talking like you're a coach, but you're not a coach, and you don't want to coach. So what are you doing? Like, just stop being a Jerry Jones and just
don't disrespect the greatness of that man.
He's not greatness. That man is also another person with a checkbook.
Jerry Jones. No, listen what Jerry Jones did.
He
bought a team for $140 million.
Right.
Do you know how much the Dallas Cowboys are worth?
Like billions.
More than the USC. That one team is worth like $4.3 billion.
But
what is the but?
He's just throwing out a checkbook, man.
You flip $140 million to get $4.3 billion.
But like I said,
that is a great executive.
That's okay. I understand that, but I'm telling Phil thinks he knows everything. Like how Jared thinks he knows everything, and sometimes you just need to realize that your job is to like handle the books or to handle the money. Like what happens on the court, leave that for the coaches and them decide. Don't try to be a deciding factor on like who
he's
starts.
He's the president of basketball operations.
I understand,
meaning how basketball is supposed to operate.
As in, but still, it's the coaches for, like, you got to let the coaches do
their
own thing.
Then who would you rather take his spot?
No one. Honestly, I would love to bring back Donnie Walsh. I would love to. And honestly, another thing is, you know, we don't even need to if anything, fire Phil and just promote Steve Mills. Because I think Steve Mills is getting, like, no credit at all. Like,
that's a valid
he's
point.
He's
that's
getting no credit. Like, that's the worst part. When someone's named a president of basketball operations, there's like no love for the general manager at all. The general manager is a lot of work in like free agency and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's the president of basketball operations who get the credit of it because it's just like, oh, I'm, you know, so I think Steve Mills should be president of basketball operations. He knows what he's doing. But I would love to bring back Donnie Walsh, you know, if he's not petty anymore, or James Dolan. I don't know what
James
happened.
James Dolan as the president of basketball.
No, I'm saying if James Dolan stopped being petty.
Oh,
with,
I was about
with
to
Donnie
say,
Walsh.
No, leave that man and his checkbook alone.
That's right. I'm like, no.
James Dolan is a great honor, by the way.
Somewhat, allegedly.
He's a great honor.
No, it's...
When you're willing to cut whatever check is necessary, they could have LeBron.
They could have, but you want to know why we don't have LeBron? Because
Because y'all picked up Melo instead.
No, we picked up a Mark. No, we didn't pick up Melo instead. We had an opportunity to get both. Melo and Amari. Not Melo. LeBron and Amari. I thought we really had him, but, you know, just that Miami team.
Which, speaking of which, Miami sucks this season.
I mean,
Pat Riley's trash.
Nah. First of all, actually, let's not act like we're surprised. We're not surprised. I told you that Miami was going to drop off.
Not this badly.
I knew it was going to... Okay, maybe I was the only one who thought it was going to be this badly because your superstar is Hassan Whiteside. Like, you threw... And you how much? And you overpaid for Tyler Johnson. How much is Tyler Johnson averaging? Like, I don't even pay attention to...
I mean, he's having a... Well, no, he's not. Like, but they still had Goran Dragic. Who's a decent player?
Who was, and now it's just like
you got Justice Winslow, who's great.
He's developing, still.
Great, that boy's great.
And not even that, we're finally starting to see like Eric Spoelstra can't coach offense. Like,
what do you mean we're finally starting? We've been on that.
Oh well, now we're seeing it because.
Well, when you have LeBron, you don't coach. I mean, honestly, like no disrespect to any like to Tyronn Lue or David Blatt or anything like that. But when you have LeBron James, you don't coach. You just let that man do what he wants.
But now we're seeing, like, there's just no offense. And like,
it's like if you have Kobe, you don't coach. You let that man do what he wants.
I mean, they're 94 points a game. I'm actually surprised that the Orlando Magic, who has more wins than the Miami Heat, only got 92 points per game. This is something that's kind of, like, is making me angry.
Well, Serge Ibaka went off and got a career high.
That is true, and Miami did play less games, but still, okay, if Miami plays two more games, I feel like they will actually be like 2-9, and it's an abysmal team. It's time for Eric Spoelstra to go, time for Pat Riley to go, and just start over with your overpaid Tyler Johnson and your developing Justice Winslow and your somewhat overpaid Hassan Whiteside, who only cares about getting his 2K rating up.
I mean, that's the best motivation. That was probably the realest answer ever from any NBA
player. First of all, he went from not being on 2K to being on 2K. He wasn't on 2K. All right, but it's just not. It's not. I don't understand. But it's time for the Miami Heat to just start over. And honestly, that's another person who I like the Knicks to pick up as a defensive coach. Is me. Why not? As a defensive coordinator, yes. Because
the Knicks just need to
play defense.
No, the Knicks just need to
play defense.
Actually, New York as a whole just needs to focus on baseball. We need to get the Yankees back.
No, right? We don't need to get the Yankees back. We need to get the Mets back. It's time for the Mets. It's time for the Mets to make his come up. But we're gonna talk about that when it's time for baseball season. And also, we need the football to come back. I'm tired of the Giants giving me false hope.
Did y'all lose last night?
No, we won.
I heard Odell like got his 3,500.
Yeah. Or something like that. I'm not going to put the argument out there, but Odell for greatest wide receiver of all time.
Stupid. No.
That's why I'm not putting it out there yet. Because he's beating Randy Moss records already.
Okay, listen. The catch. What was it? It was a one-handed grab.
The catch
was a one-handed grab. They still lost that game.
It was a three-finger grab. We lost that game because of defense.
Y'all still lost the game. Randy Moss, catching with one hand was what he did. Odell learned from Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the greatest of all time.
We understand.
Randy Moss didn't use stick-em. Odell uses stick-em.
Odell does not use stick-em.
Odell does use stick-em.
Wait, no, Jerry Rice used stick-em.
Jerry Rice used stick-em and Odell used stick-em.
Odell does not use stick-em.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I don't want actual...
His gloves ain't supposed to be that shiny.
Yeah. I'm just blaming it on shiny gloves. Nah, it's not. They're not fresh. Nah, it's too shiny. Nah, man. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there.
But see, Odell had a better quarterback than most of these. Not Jerry Rice.
I'm about to say it. Randy Moss had a good. Dante Culpepper, Tom Brady. Don't get me started.
Dante Culpepper was not greatness.
Okay, no, whoa. I'm not saying he's not greatness, but you can't say he's like not a good quarterback. He was a good quarterback.
He was eh. Randy Moss made him.
No. Okay.
Yes, he did.
Still, Dante. You can't say Dante Culpepper was not a good quarterback.
No. Because what did he do without Randy Moss?
Okay, but you gotta understand though.
When you can't produce without that player made you.
So, it doesn't matter, Dante. As long as he had Dante Culpepper.
No, Dante Culpepper was not greatness without Randy Moss.
Yo, he's young. I didn't know that. He's only 39.
Dante?
Yeah. But still, I'm saying,
Randy Moss is the greatest wide receiver of all time.
For now.
Followed by, I don't include Jerry Rice in my top because he used stick-em. And that's just cute.
I do.
I do not. Randy Moss, Terrell Owens. Say what you want, that man could play. That man could catch the ball.
He's top three, I understand. Then there's Ocho, and that's it. Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco is not top. He's top five. He's not my top three. Because I still feel like Michael Irvin was.
You could put Irvin in there, but I'm just saying, when it's all said and if he continues.
When it's all said and done, Julio Jones will be the best wide receiver.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah, he stays healthy. If Antonio Brown gets killed,
We got to put in Calvin Johnson. We have to.
Megatron was a letdown. Megatron was
not a letdown. I just think the injuries got up to him, and he was.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. Megatron could have went five more years. If Megatron would have stayed healthy, it's no question.
And that's why I'm not going to put Julio in there because I feel like that's what's going to happen. If he retires early,
Julio giving us five more years.
Julio's 27 now.
Julio's giving us five more years. Julio will probably retire at 33.
If he does, we got to put in Larry Fitzgerald because the man's been playing for 13 years, hasn't slowed down yet. I mean, he slowed down.
Larry Fitzgerald's up there.
Like, he hasn't slowed down, but we know he's still producing. And that's all I'm saying. When it's all said and done, Odell is breaking Randy Moss's records. We gotta understand he didn't play the first, four games of his rookie year. Played 12 games, still. 12 games, he still broke Randy Moss's rookie record. After next season, still broke Randy Moss's record. And now we're on week 11, and he's a fastest 3,500 receiving yard. 3,500 receiving yards.
It's all thanks to Eli. It's all thanks to Eli.
Some can go to Eli, but I just feel like you gotta,
I feel like Eli some is can, like low key, like 53% of Odell's greatness.
Some can go to Eli, but I just feel like. You gotta give it to just the person, Odell himself, on not being a one-trick pony.
Like, Odell's too emotional.
He just loves the game, so.
No, it's so not he loves the
he
game.
He does love the game. But
that's not what it's for.
No.
That's not why he's too emotional.
He's emotional because he puts everything into their game.
Look.
They did a piece on it last night. I watched it before I went watching wrestling.
It doesn't matter.
It's the love for the game that he has. That's what makes him emotional.
Here's the problem with Odell. Odell lived with Drake. Once you live with Drake, you're far too emotional.
Once you come out of hot tub with your teammate.
Oh, yeah. And then he's like gay or something.
He's not.
Wore rainbow drawers, pulled them down, and spit around on a hoverboard. If that's not some frou-frou, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I think... The person he has to be included. He doesn't want it. He wants to run every route.
I think he'll end at the end of his career.
He's going
he's
to be
at least top three.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be
a Hall of Famer.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be in that discussion for greatest of all time.
He's in that discussion. I don't think he's going to pass up Randy Moss.
Look, if he continues at his pace. Eli has four more years. Eli has to give a decent four more years, and whoever's
I don't
after
think
Eli
got four more years.
He does have like he does not.
I don't think so.
It was contract.
No, I just don't think he'll be healthy.
He's one of the most he's the healthiest. No,
yeah, but y'all don't got no line for real.
But here's the thing: Eli's not going to stand there and just get.
No, here's the thing: based on Peyton. Getting messed up all them years, I feel like it's inevitable for Eli.
It's no. The difference between Peyton and Eli, Peyton had that neck surgery, and then, Peyton lost, he just lost the arm strength. Eli is absolutely different because every offseason, he works with an MLB pitching coach to keep his arm active and strong. And, people keeps on dogging the offensive line. I understand that, but... If you actually look at our offensive line, it doesn't give up sacks because Eli, they're going to get pressure. He's going to get pressure. But the reason they don't give up sacks is because Eli knows when the pocket's collapsing, he knows where to blitz. He reads the defenses better than anyone else in the league. And that's why I'm kind of mad because, he's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL. He can read any type of defense, any pressures, or where it's coming. He knows who's going to come unblocked and all that stuff. He's gonna just simply run out of the passer box, and just throw it down. He does that so well. That's why I think he's gonna have a longer career. He rarely gets hurt, and even when he gets hurt, it's a minor injury that he can still kind of playoff. Like, his last, like, the only thing I remember him having was, like, an ankle injury, and that was, like, what, 3 years ago. He's, like, the most active. Like, he's the leader in most consecutive starts. What?
You think Odell gonna stay on the Giants?
No.
Where do you think he's going?
I don't know where he's going, but I don't think the Giants are gonna open up the pocketbook to him.
So, do you think Odell, currently, right now, okay, who's the best wide receiver in the league right now?
Best wide receiver?
Give me your top three.
My top three?
Yeah.
That's kind of tough. Julio. It's not in any order, but Julio, Odell, and a tie between Green and Brown. Okay. Like, it's a tie between, because I feel like Antonio Brown needs Ben Roethlisberger. And I think the same thing. Like, they need their guys, but I feel like AJ Green can just,
I feel like AJ Green can play with anybody.
Yeah, AJ Green can play with anybody.
I feel the same thing for Julio, just because his size.
Yeah, but we've never seen
him get around a 4-3.
And we haven't seen that with Antonio yet. So that's why I said I'll give the nod to AJ Green, because he can really like light up. He can truly light up any secondary if he wants to. I think Antonio Brown can, but it's a matter of if Ben is on point, and if Ben isn't on point.
The only really reason I think Antonio Brown is so highly regarded is because, one, he's a character. Like,
when he
gets a touchdown, it's something outlandish.
And it's not the character.
His yards after the catch is crazy. Like, his route running is amazing, but the yard after the catch is just, and he'll turn around and run the wrong direction.
That is true. But also, I think it's just he got drafted. I think he was drafted in the fifth round too.
Yeah.
Like, the other three, they were first rounders.
Yeah. So he was slept on.
He was highly slept on. So I think
with Brady.
I wouldn't say slept on. Just like,
Brady was.
I know he was slept on, but like, if you looked at his combine, man, that man was horrible. That man was horrible. They're just like, we need someone to hold the field goal kicks. It's Tom Brady got from Michigan. Dang it, Tom, you're in. Oh, he's good. I think that's kind of just what happened. That's honestly, I feel like, just we need someone, we need a holder. We need a holder. We need a holder. Oh, man. But if we're on this NFL topic, before we knock off week 11, we need to talk about the Green Bay Packers getting schmantled. On the road, let me put that on that. I think it was on, or were the Packers at home? I think the Packers were on the road.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Pretty sure the Packers were.
Yeah, they played on the road.
Okay, so there's a viable excuse. You know, home field advantage could lead to a terrible play on when you're the road team. But
that don't explain no 47-25.
It.
Did you watch the game?
No, it wasn't available in my market.
Okay. Well, when you watch the game, you'll realize. Aaron Rodgers needs to go.
Look, Aaron Rodgers, I think.
Aaron Rodgers.
He does need to go.
Needs to go.
Nah, he's good where he is.
He needs to go.
I think
he needs to go. The whole team needs to go.
No.
They need to fire everyone and pick up 60 random dudes from the street.
No. No. I just think he needs. He needs healthy receivers.
We can't keep blaming these receivers.
He needs healthy receivers. Come on, like, I don't think.
If you're healthy enough to run on the field, you're healthy enough.
But at the same time, it's still getting used to playing on the field. And maybe Jordy Nelson's maybe still not 100% back in the offense. And, you know, Randall Cobb has a hamstring injury, and he's playing through that hamstring injury.
So quarterback will adjust to the health of his receivers. If you know that person can't run and go catch a deep ball because they have a hamstring injury, give them a short run, a screen.
But Randall Cobb's a slot receiver, so like that's why it's the hammy is very important when you're running that slot, man. Those are the short route guys. So Randall Cobb's is trying to play through an injury. Like, the only viable receiver he has is Devontae Adams, and that's
good.
But he can be fun. Like, I saw the game against the Falcons, but he dropped a fumble, and sometimes he may get. There's games he's going to have a lot of targets. He's going to get a lot of targets, and it's going to be games where he doesn't get a lot of targets. So it's like, it's all about a matter of him getting open or not. So it's just It's the same problem that he had last year.
It's when not Jordy the same was problem. We when gotta Jordy stop was making that excuse. Aaron Rodgers is underachieving.
No.
People have put him on his high standard. They're like, oh, he's better than Brady. Oh, he's better than Peyton. They did all that talking. And then when that man started to suck, they looked for a reason for to explain why. It's like...
Because they... You got to understand, if they're not open, who are you going to throw it to?
Run it. You're this great running quarterback, right? Cam Newton will run the ball.
Okay, but that's not his game. Cam Newton's game is to be a dual threat, but honestly, Aaron Rodgers is just run in emergencies. He can't run every play.
Well, if your receivers aren't open, then it's an emergency or you'll die. So,
and here's another thing, man. Like, he's also been on a running back carousel this whole season. When you're using a wide receiver as a running back, and the fantasy app won't let you use that wide receiver as a running back, even though he's being used as a running back, that's a problem. So I think it's just the offense around him. It's kind of just like it's not living up to their performance, and Aaron Rodgers is trying to do the best that he can. He still put up 300 yards, threw 2 touchdowns, and ran for a touchdown in that game. I just think he just ran into a very hot Tennessee team, and like that team is hot. Marcus Mariota is scoring like 2 touchdowns at least. 2 touchdowns in like the past 6 or something games.
Marcus Mariota is the truth, but Aaron Rodgers, we need to stop making excuses. There are plenty of quarterbacks in this league that don't have a single threat on their team, but they make something happen.
Like who? Not the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Who cares about Jacksonville? No offense if you live in Jacksonville, but your team sucks. Like, it's just a fact. All right. Prime example, Kirk Cousins.
He makes... Okay, well, first of all, Jameson Crowder, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed, DeSean Jackson.
None of those are elite.
First of all, okay, they're not elite. But Jameson Crowder's on the come up. He's slowly becoming the number one receiver on that team. Jordan Reed is coming off a concussion. So, I mean, like I said, only team that argument would kind of make sense is like Jacksonville Jaguars, because like...
No, because Jordan Reed's hurt, so...
No, he's back. He's coming off. He's back.
But he's still. I mean, like I said, they're not coming up. Receivers. All right, another example, because there's plenty of teams. Kansas City Chiefs.
That's just a proponent of the system. That is, because no, it really is. We're gonna use our strong defense to keep us close within games, and we're gonna put Alex Smith in as like a game manager. That's what he does. That's truly what he does. He just game manages. Put him in any team you put him on. He's like, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's not going to turn the ball over because he barely turns the ball. He does get an interception some games, but he's not like a fumble prone, turnover prone, like pass heavy guy. He's going to just throw the short route, get your first down, and he has like good running backs behind him. So he's game managing. That's a different situation.
How is that a different situation? If the point is we're talking about teams that don't have elite receivers,
and they do have,
but
oh. Yeah, because see, you know what? I'm going to be honest, but I kind of forgot the argument.
Exactly. We're talking about teams
that don't have elite, all right,
that
so you're
don't
right.
have elite receivers, but can still win games.
But in Kansas City defense, again, the system is don't turn the ball over, run it, short pass, and then just let the defense hold up. It's just, I think it's Andy Reid's system. Not to go deep down the field and all that stuff. Because I feel like he, like, Jeremy Maclin, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Jeremy Maclin and Chris Conley can actually be good receivers if they're on different teams. Because Jeremy Maclin was actually a good receiver in Philly. And Chris Conley is like a viable deep threat. And Albert Wilson, as much, again, he could return punts. So
the point is,
it's the system.
There's systems in place for teams that are in a similar position as Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers needs to implement those systems. Instead of being so stubborn, like, I'm just going to throw it down to Jordy and overthrow him, knowing that Jordy's not 100%. So we can't keep making this excuse like, oh, he doesn't have help. There's maybe 5 teams in the league that truly have help as a wide receiver. It's not as deep as a position as you would like to think. Because a lot of them end up on the same team where it's like a dual threat, or you have like a really ill tight end or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm not even asking Aaron Rodgers to, you know what I'm saying, be greatness or have like a... I'm just asking like be at 500. Just be at 500. Right now they're not at 500. So...
No, they're 5-4.
No, they're 4-5.
Oh.
So just be at 500. That's all I ask of them.
They will be. They're gonna come back. It's, trust me.
They don't have the easiest schedule on here. Easy. Like that's.
They got the Redskins. Again, they're on the road, but I think that could be a very winnable game. I mean, there's
not
a lot
the way
of,
Kirk Cousins is playing.
But there's still a lot of matchups to exploit. I mean, we clearly see that Jordy, that was his name, Josh Norman, is not the best cornerback in the league.
We've been doing that. Probably lose to the Redskins because it's an away game. They'll probably lose to the Eagles because it's an away game, and Carson Wentz is getting back to what he used to be. They'll probably beat the Texans. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really watched the Texans this season.
Is it a home game or a road game?
It's a home game.
It's going to be close.
Seahawks, it's at home, but I feel like Seahawks will probably win that. The Bears, at the Bears.
They're going to win that game.
They should beat the Bears. It depends if Jay Cutler chooses to show up.
First of all, Jay Cutler is no longer existent. Have you not heard Stephen A. like just going around like Jay Cutler?
He just doesn't like Jay Cutler. The point is Jay Cutler's still playing, and they got that Howard kid
Alshon Jeffrey's now suspended. So...
We'll see. And then the Vikings. Well, they've been losing recently. So
exactly. There's a chance for the Vikings.
And then the Lions. I think they'll lose against the
Lions. They'll win against the Lions.
I think they'll lose against the Lions.
That's a win.
That's a loss. It's at Lions.
It could still be a win. It could still be a viable win.
I'm going to call it
It's going to be like a shootout, but it could be a win.
I'm going to call it an L. But we'll see. Point is,
they don't look
like they're going to end at 500.
There's still hope.
They're looking like they're going to end at a 7-9 record?
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
No.
All you need to do is make
We bought into that crap last time.
And they made wild card.
They cheated.
They ain't cheat,
they
bro.
They cheated.
Nah, bro. It's okay. It's all right. All right? Because right now we need to figure out. This is going to be our last topic before we quick strike week 11. But do we or do we not? If you are Jason Garrett, do you put in Tony Romo?
I'm going to stick with what I've been saying. You put Dak in for the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
If Dak gets a touchdown, you leave Dak in for the second quarter. Dak gets a touchdown, you leave Dak in for the
So you're saying stick with the hot hand.
Stick with the hot hand. Now, if Dak throws an interception or something crazy...
I don't think an interception would be like, oh, that's a
no, panic. No, I'm not saying start Romo. I'm saying that could be one of the few teams that can have a dual QB system where as long as Dak is doing good, you leave that man be. You let that man do what he wants. Uh-huh. But if Dak comes out, he throws like two picks, y'all need to win, put in Romo. See what Romo can do.
Then what if Romo goes bad? What if Romo goes
bad? Then you put Dak back in. Or you just ask the players... On that possession, what do you want the QB? It's very simple.
That's not it. Then that's going to be that's awkward for the players. You can't ask the players who you want as your quarterback.
No, not who do. It's just like for this drive, y'all want Romo in, y'all want Dak in. We're going to switch them out. I said y'all should let Dak run first quarter, Romo run second quarter, Dak run third.
Then there'll be there's no offensive consistency.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does because you understand.
No, because here's the thing: they play differently. So, Romo's favorite receiver is Dez. Dak's favorite receiver is Cole Beasley.
And Witten.
So, if you need a big play, put in Romo so you can throw it to Dez. Because Dez is probably the only receiver on that team who can really go down there and just catch it. It kind of just depends on how the game
situation. I just feel like, again,
but
in terms
like
of offensive consistency, you can't just, like, you know, hot potato with quarterbacks.
I mean, no one's ever tried it, so we don't know. That's another thing. Like Romo is a starting QB. Let's be honest. He's a great quarterback.
Romo to Cleveland.
No. But here's the thing. Dak got the juice right now. Keep it honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
The team is bought into Dak Prescott. I feel like it's almost like a Brady situation where you just kind of come in because of the injury and then you kind of steal a team. But I feel as if Romo's too great not to play, or he's too great to just be a bench player.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like somehow you guys need to work in a dual QB system where Dak, team can still be the team, but you let Romo continue to be Romo. Since you paying that man over $100 million, you might as well get some money out of him. But, so I say try it out, try some different things, try different quarters. You know, I don't want anyone to get hurt for Romo to come back or anything like that. And but, I like Dak. Dak seems like a nice kid.
I like Dak, but I just don't like that he's on the Cowboys. Like, if he done it, I would be cheering for him if he was doing it for, like, the Saints or, like, the...
No, because I'm Drew Brees over Dak any day.
I'm just saying, but, like, if he... Still, you're right.
You put Dak over Drew Brees?
If they were 8-1 and Drew Brees is coming off an injury...
I'm just saying it's like saying Brady, this is me being a Giants fan.
Like, I kind of personally kind of want to see what Romo has.
It's like before just we because just, Garoppolo did good when Brady came back. Was Brady not going to get his job back?
Okay, Garoppolo did decent, but there was
okay. Definitely,
but there were things that like they were missing that Brady could. There's things Brady could do that Garoppolo couldn't do. I think that's why. But, like, as time comes along, I felt like Garoppolo would have somewhere hit a wall. I'm like, the thing is, Dak hasn't hit a wall yet, except for his first game against the Giants. I was like, that was kind of, technically, was his worst game because that was the only L. That was the only L they took, which is why I'm still happy because it doesn't matter how much you talk about them. The Giants were the only ones to beat them. But, again, I just want to see, hey, what does Romo have left? If I would put Romo
in. Well, who do they play when they come back?
Because that'll definitely they're still, like, 3 more games against the division. And then you still got Giants, Eagles, and Redskins.
So they should come back playing against the Ravens.
Oh, yeah, they have the Ravens.
I will
put in Tony just to see what he got, especially in games like this against the Baltimore Ravens. I'll put Tony in just to see what he has.
I would actually start Tony for the Ravens game. If they lose, it's Dak's team.
Yeah.
But it's Dak's team, and Tony, you just have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
But to start Dak, looking at the rest of their schedule, Romo will never get a chance to play. Like, ever. Because then they go to the Redskins. That's a game I'd rather have Dak in. Vikings. I don't know what's up with the Vikings anymore, so I'm going to skip over them. The New York Giants? I don't know. That might be a game Romo could play.
I mean, honestly, yes, because...
I'm just thinking of y'all secondary.
Oh, no, our secondary is actually kind of weak-ish. Yeah, it doesn't matter who you start a quarterback. But I'm just saying, I want to, if in terms of less of seeing what Romo has in the tank still, because you can honestly, if you can use him as trade bait and give him to a team like a Jacksonville, like a Cleveland. No, I'm just saying, but it's just trade
bait. Romo to the Packers.
No, I mean, as long
replace as... Replace Aaron Rodgers.
Romo, like, you could send Romo to the Dolphins, Romo to the Rams, you know what I'm saying? There's, if you want to use, like, that trade-based situation, because at the end of the day, if he's sitting on your bench, you're still paying him over $100 million for, the next, what, 4 years?
Three years.
He's still getting over $100 million. So why don't you just kind of, like...
Because that's a hard contract to pick up.
Honestly, the Redskins are going to be looking for a quarterback soon because Kirk Cousins is on his franchise tag. Because remember, this is a prove me year for Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins has been playing, but still,
this could be a huge even for the Texans who's finally seen that Brock Osweiler isn't of worth. I mean, you have like it's very interesting because this could be similar to, honestly, bro,
this has been something that we've been thinking about all season long, and it's really hard to because it's not like Romo was a bad quarterback.
I mean, he's bad in December and January. That's a knock against
him.
Here's the thing.
I let Romo run until about December 18th. Then I'm putting Dak back in. And we're going to see what this playoff looking like. But here's the thing. Ezekiel Elliott.
I'm still mad about that.
That boy can...
I don't want to talk about that.
Let's not talk about that. That man is...
I'm about to stop recording if we talk about that. Because... my fantasy team was up a solid 50 points. I already had 100 points by like the end of like 7 o'clock. This is my other fantasy team, and the guy I was going up against had like 50, and he only had 3 players left to play: Dez Bryant, Ezekiel Elliott, and a kicker. I should be solid. I look at the end of the game. Dez Bryant has 17. Ezekiel Elliott has 38. And the kicker hasn't played it because it's Stephen Hoschka who plays at 8 o'clock, so it's a primetime game. I'm only up by 2 with the kicker left.
Yeah, yeah. I assume you lost.
I did.
Yeah.
And then this, and then the worst part is, like, in this league, we have like a defensive player, so we select a defensive player. Like, we have like what, like one defensive player, like a linebacker, cornerback, to play. Somehow this man got 9 points, and I was like, "That this, the after the math does just not add up. You have 4 tackles and a sack. How do you have 9 fantasy points where my guy is Landon Collins? This man had tackles and an interception last night. I only got 8 out of him. I'm like,
well, so sacks probably count more.
No, sacks are for a defense. Like as a team defense, sack is 1 point. Interceptions are 2. So if, and like, I don't know how to calculate tackles in this league. But if that's the case, tackles are 2 points, and a sack is—it's just not making sense. But it's, that's why.
Well, point mad. Is that okay? So that's
Zeke thing. For rookie of the year. Oh, I'm just putting it out there right now.
They're talking about Zeke for MVP. Zeke is probably the second coming of Barry Sanders.
Ooh, yeah, I can give you that. Now, I'll give him.
Like real talk, this man is running through people, like breaking tackles in a way I haven't seen in a very long time. He reminds me of like a Jerome Bettis or a Corey Dillon, like from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. I feel like even Romo could prosper in the playoffs when you have Ezekiel Elliott.
I think that's what I just really, like that. I just really that's
plus they. I mean, they've always had probably the best offensive line in football, except when Romo gets sacked. Like the every time Romo gets hit, he dies. But like,
you know, I hate my bones.
But yeah, like honestly, I don't think you could really go wrong playing either quarterback. But I'd probably keep Dak just for
all right. And this just in, Jared Goff will be making his NFL start for the Rams this Sunday against the Dolphins. And now we are at our quick strike moment. We're going to call off week 11 of the NFL season, starting with the Thursday night game, Saints going to Carolina to play the Panthers.
I'm gonna go
I got Panthers winning that one.
Nice. I
do too in my fantasy team, but Steelers Browns.
Steelers easy.
Yeah, Ravens Cowboys. Cowboys are on the road. I think it comes down to the last minute. Jaguars Lions.
Lions.
I got Lions too. Titans Colt at the Colts. I got Tennessee because they're on.
I got Titans. Yeah.
I got Buccaneers at Chiefs. This is gonna be a very interesting game. Chiefs. I got Chiefs too. Bears, Giants. Oh man, Odell is going off again.
I'm saying it right now.
I'm gonna go with Bears. Whew. Okay, Odell is going off again. I'm saying it right here. He's gonna go off. I say 150 yards minimum. Minimum of 150 yards. Psych. I'm not gonna put that on.
I was about to say.
Like, I'm joking. But he's gonna go off. Giants. Of course, Giants are gonna win that one. Cardinals versus Vikings. This is gonna be interesting.
I'm so sick of the Cardinals, bro.
I'm so sick of the Vikings because I have their defense. I have no choice but to start their defense now, and we're
you
the worst.
Me
huh?
I got like 2 solid defenses.
Here's the thing, though. I don't want to let them go. I mean, I'm gonna just bench them once Denver comes back. Because that's where I realized I should have been starting with Denver's defense. I should have stuck with Denver's defense. I don't know why I picked up Minnesota's.
I got the Chiefs defense, and it's been doing well for me. Yeah. And I had the Eagles, so.
I don't want to – because not even that, we're playing against each other, too. So I don't want to trade to, like, be the reason why I beat you, even though I'm going to beat you.
I play you this week?
Yeah.
I'm going to win. I'm going to destroy you.
No, you're not. Look at my lineup, bro. I got Le'Veon Bell going up against the Cleveland Browns, boy.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Garrett Blunt gives me at least a touchdown a game.
All right.
And last night he got me 25 points.
Look.
Would have been 26. Or would have been 30.
Look, Le'Veon Bell is the reason why I won. I was on a losing streak before Le'Veon Bell.
All right. We'll see. If Tevin Coleman come back, it's over for you.
All right. Go ahead. Start Tevin. You're going to need your running back.
Honestly, I got the running back from the Dolphins. This man puts up like 30 points.
In the game. J.J., speaking of, do we even call Cardinals Vikings yet?
I'm so sick of the Cardinals. I'm going to go with it. I mean, the Vikings low-key suck right now, but I'm going to just say Vikings for that.
I'm just going to say Cardinals because they have a better offense, and I think it's going to take that that one offensive play. Stop doing that. You're not a Kappa. Dolphins, Rams. I say Jared Goff plays horribly in his debut.
Dolphins. No, it's running back is the truth.
I want to go with the Rams, but I just.
Why did you make that dumb behind the scenes?
I don't know, because even Goff in preseason wasn't that pretty. It really wasn't. This week 11, just not put him in a starter, so yeah, I got a Dolphins. Patriots at 49ers. Patriots.
You don't even have to ask me.
Ooh, this is going to be a good game. Eagles at the Seahawks. At Seattle, but you know.
I'll go with Seahawks.
And then Packers at Redskins. I say Redskins. Packers are going to win that game. And the Monday Night Football game, Texans at Raiders. This is a game that this is a game that's going to be very important because I can easily start both Latavius Murray and Lamar Miller and watch them just go off, and that will be the reason why I will beat you. So I got the Raiders.
You know, how many weeks it's been since I took a loss?
Yeah, and you know who beat you? The one who actually...
You haven't beat me since like week two.
Exactly, that's because I beat you in week two.
That's when I didn't have a real team.
Well, I still beat you though. Doesn't matter.
Watch you get washed.
No, I'm not going to get washed. Right. Drew Brees is going to have a great game against Carolina.
I haven't watched Drew Brees throw about 7 picks.
And that's why I got Jameis Winston. again, only two of us here. Just the two of us. All right, close the lyrics so I don't know the rest of the song. We can make it as something, something, something. But thanks for listening. We'll be back 2 weeks from now. On the 29th, because that's after Thanksgiving, so we're going to take Thanksgiving off. Yeah. So, yeah. All right.
Oh, and I watched Maurice in fantasy, by the way. I doubled his points.
So. Oh, yeah. And Landry is 0-10.
With Tom Brady and Gronkowski.
So, we need to fix that, all right? So, much love. Peace out.